Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
Itself. Please use discretion when to begin. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome everyone to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Thank you for being a part of this life event. You know, I get so excited every week when Tuesday run around because you have chosen to join in with the show and to be a part of this life experience. So I just give thanks for your energy, for your love, and for your support of Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So come on, let's get this party started. And you know, there are always certain things that must be done before you can invite people into your home. And so what we do here at Life, Love, and Wellness is that we prepare ourselves with a daily affirmation or inspirational writings. And so I get them from the post that I do on a daily basis at Rev Sandy, that's RevSandy.wordpress.com. And this particular reading is called The Test. My childhood pastor called to give me a message. Although he actually served me as a pastor during my early adult years, he was my pastor during the childhood years of my life. In other words, even though my chronological years were that of an adult, I was still a child. Pastor C.C. Coleman called to say, God has designed you to weather all storms. His call and message are always timely and meaningful. I thanked him for allowing himself to be used as a vessel of God's unconditional love to me. I received his message with full appreciation and gratitude. So what is your storm today? Tests in life are you facing today? Know with certainty that God designed you especially to survive this storm and the test. God will always make a way out of no way. There is comfort in knowing that the Master created us in such an awesome and magnificent manner that we can withstand all storms, trials, or tribulations. Give thanks for the outcome in advance. Know that you are truly prepared to handle whatever comes your way, this day or the next. Know that God has you safely wrapped in love, light, mercy, grace, forgiveness, wisdom, courage, and strength. So go ahead and take the test. You are adequately equipped with the mind of the Most High to pass it. The Creator is smiling upon you this day as you complete the test with honor. The test is whatever you say it is. God never tests us. There's no need for that. The test we alone call into existence for whatever reason. You are whole and complete. You are wonderful and wonder-filled. You are awesome and beautiful. God has designed you to weather all storms and to pass every test. Yes, the tests, the storms. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go into the show, with some of the things that's been happening in our nation. So next, though, we're going to keep in line with what we're to do to prepare for this show. And what we always do on Life, Love, and Wellness is we invoke and invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us. We invite them to be with us tonight, and we invite them to be with us always, but truly on tonight, because I know that it is the love and the energy of our ancestors which keep us grounded, yearning for additional knowledge, and being able to share in such a loving way with one another. So we treasure the gifts of the ancestors that they bring to us. Ashe, ashe. So it's all about life, it's all about wellness, and it's all about love. So tonight's show is called Healthy Lives Matter, Especially Yours. And so what I want to do tonight is I've invited some health practitioners and people probably that don't even call themselves health practitioners, but that are serving in roles to encourage and inspire other people to become healthy, to share whatever voice that they want to on the show. And trust me, I have enough to keep us going for 90 minutes, but I really do want to have the platform shared with as many people that would be willing to share their voices tonight. So I wanted some of the questions that we want to talk about, some of the topics, is are you aware of the hidden changes or the hidden dangers in our American diet? Did you know our ancestors did not eat grains unless they were starving? Have you heard of the biblical reference to what foods we should eat or the foods that were designed for humans to eat? Did you know that the chemicals being sprayed on the crops are known to cause cancer? They're called carcinogenic. You say it's too hard or too expensive, but just think about the toll it's taking on your life and the resulting dis-ease and medical care you would be paying for when you become ill. You can make a difference now. Take it slow and one step at a time, and let me help you. So many questions. Others in the healing practice will be here to answer questions also. So this is just the write-up for the show. And, again, I just want us to be mindful of the changes that we can make. Some of the reference material that I'm going to be using tonight, there's a book called Health Confidential, and it's written by Dr. Al Sears. He's a medical doctor, and he shines the spotlight on a lot of the incongruencies with the healthcare system and what we're led to believe that is for our best interest. So we're going to get right into this. Again, it's Healthy Lives Matter, Especially Yours. And so I think I want to start with a song just to kind of get us a little loosened up here. I'm wound, man, tonight. You know, anytime I get to talk about health and wellness, I'm just all into it. And so because it's so important for all of us, for each of us to know and to share the knowledge and the information that we have with one another. So I'm going to quickly play a song so that we can get our groove on, and then we're going to come on back to Healthy Lives Matter, Especially Yours.
I got something that'll show the central stuff. me that you like it, yeah. Got no time, is what you're known to say. I make you wish there was 48 hours to each day.
They matter and how your life matters so much. So, audience, you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and of course, every voice is heard, and there's complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment or neglecting what your comments are. And so, our call in number is 516-531-9819, and if you wish to talk on air, just push the one on your keypad, and that'll let me know that you're waiting or wanting to talk live on air. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and thank you for being with us, and welcome back to the show. So I wanted to start off by giving you just a little bit of history. So my mother, 35 or more years ago, first introduced me to herbs, and so she would always, she had this little book with her, it wasn't little, but she carried this book around with her about herbs, and you got to understand, you know, back then, it wasn't too popular, the notion of taking herbs to heal your body or to heal whatever was going wrong with you, but she studied that religiously. And would tell us, you know, like, don't take a laxative here, take this, and don't take that medicine, take this. And so she was really, really into that, and I thank her so much for being instrumental in really kind of jump kick starting me into this wellness. And she turned 90 yesterday, and so she is reaping the benefits of her self-taught knowledge about herbs. And her health started to decline when she trusted her doctor. I won't call his name, but she trusted her doctor, and he gave her some medicine that almost killed her. And she has been suffering the consequences and suffering, trying to get back to the life that she had before she took those pills. So anyway, again, happy birthday, Mama, one more time. And thank you for your willingness to go outside of the box, the so-called box, to teach us about herbs and how they affect our lives. And so so next I want to tell you guys, you know, I am now 66 years old. So last year when I turned 65, I was awarded or rewarded with getting Medicare. And so with the Medicare insurance, you are forced into having a yearly annual physical. And so last year, my doctor, she was, she's the same one. I still have her because I like her. But last year she was a little bewildered, I want to say, about my health and being 65 and not taking any type of prescription medicine and not taking any vitamins or anything like that. She just found it hard to believe. And so it was really difficult for her to get into the appointment with me because she kept, you know, looking at me with disbelief, you know, like, so how are you able to do that? And she eventually said that, you know, like, you're the probably the only patient that I have that's not on any type of medicine. And so I thought that that was really a strange response from her to me. And so she asked me at one time, so what do you do? You know, how do you keep yourself healthy? Because you're too healthy so that I can't even order any lab work for you because there's no indication from anything that looking at your stats and there's no indication that that is warranted. And so, you know, I told her it was through healthy eating, raw foods, and exercising regularly and maintaining a stress-free life. And so she just, you know, kind of shook her head and was like, well, all right, well, I don't need to see you for a year, so, you know, come back for your annual next year. So 2 weeks ago, on the 1st of November, I went back for my physical. And I went through all of the, you know, preliminary, get on the scale, then they measure your height and all that kind of stuff. The only thing is the vision out of my right eye was extremely blurry. But other than that, you know, everything was good. And so here comes the doctor again, you know, and so now, you know, strip down, take everything off, let me listen to your heart. And, you know, the stethoscope is on the front, it's on the back. You know, she's punching and feeling everything, and she can't find anything. And so she's like, you're in excellent health. But she said it like she was surprised, not like she was pleased, but more surprised. And so she said, but the downside to this is that I still can't order blood work on you. And because there's no reason – looking at your health, there's no reason for me to order the blood work. I don't have that as part of your file. She said, would you like to pay for your would you like to pay for your lab work to have the blood?" I was like, "Me pay for it? No, ma'am. I'm not going to pay for you to have my blood drawn. That doesn't even make sense to me." So she was like, "Your BMI." Your waist measurements, everything is just perfect. I mean, there's just nothing that indicates any type of illness in your body. So, you know, she says, so you still going to tell me that your health is the way that it is just mainly by what you eat and doing yoga? I'm like, yes, ma'am, it is, you know. So she said, and you don't want anything I got to offer, you know, sarcastically. And I was like, well, I don't know. What do you have to offer, you know? And so she says, well, I've got the flu vaccine. I'm like, no, I don't want that. She said, I got the polio vaccine. I'm like, no, ma'am, I don't want that. I got the cold, the flu, the cold, the polio, and one other one, she said. I'm like, no, I don't want any of that in my system, you know. I said, and maybe that's the reason why I'm more well than the rest of your patients, is because I don't have all of that that you're trying to put in my system, as opposed to the people, your other patients that do have that, and they're in here sick and on medication and stuff. So then she's like, okay, well, I see you're not going to take any vaccines. She says, so what about a mammogram? And I said, well, you know, the mammogram really is hard on a woman's breast tissue. And there are some studies that say that mammograms actually can trigger breast cancer in a woman's body. I said, well, what do you know about thermography? And for you guys that may not know, thermography is a very gentle type of test that can be done. There's no mashing of the breast tissue and, you know, anything painful. It just is reading the tissues that's underneath the skin, but there's no pain, there's no violation of the body. And she says, well, I don't really know anything about thermography. And I asked one of my friends who's OBGYN, and she didn't like it. She prefers the mammogram. I'm like, well, I don't want a mammogram. I said, so if I can't get a thermography test, then I'm not going for that, you know. But she's like, well, all right. Well, what about a colonoscopy? I'm like, I'm not opposed to a colonoscopy. I said, but you got to tell me why you want me to have it done. Now, keep in mind that my father suffers with diverticulitis, and my mom had colon cancer back in the 90s. And so if she would have said, well, this is the reason why I wanted to take the colonoscopy, you know, I would have thought about it. But she says, I said, so what is your reason for you wanting me to have the colonoscopy? She said, because of your age. I'm like, that's the only reason? That's your guideline for me to take this test is a colonoscopy? And she said, yes, it's your age. I'm like, but you just told me my health is excellent. So if my health is excellent, now you want to revert back to I need this test because of my age. I'm like, the two of them just don't compute. And so she got really kind of angry with me, you know. So I got dressed, and I'm waiting in the room, and I had something else I needed to do. You know, I had an appointment that I was going to. And so I came out of the examination room, and she was like, Ms. Rogers, you got to wait. And I'm like, well, I'm ready to go. She's like, well, we're trying to check you out now. So she was talking to her nurse. So she went on, I guess, to her next patient. I don't know. So the nurse comes into the room with a stack of papers. I'm like, what's all of that? And she said, oh, these are all your referral papers to the different tests that the doctor wants you to take. And so it was funny to me because I had told the doctor, I'm not getting any vaccinations. I'm not taking a mammogram. And she couldn't satisfy the reason why I needed to go for the colonoscopy. So, but she had scheduled everything and had this nurse to bring all these papers back in. So I said all of that to say that this medical system is set up in such a way that they're going to dupe you into getting all of these tests, regardless of if you want them, you approve them or not. And so just be careful because you still have the last final word on getting those tests done. And so I was very concerned with the vision, though, because, you know, I'm a writer and I'm in the computer a lot, and with all the work that I do, so my vision is very, very important to me. So I went to the eye doctor on the 3rd, and the technician, she did all the tests, and she's like, "Oh, good pressure, and your eyes are so strong, and well, the right eye is a little weaker than the left eye, but you know, like all the tests that she did, they came out really good." So she said, "Well, just wait, and we're gonna have the doctor to look at your eyes." And so the ophthalmologist finally called me into his office, and you know, he's got the big fancy looking machinery, and he's got that going into my eye, and he's calling out all these numbers and, you know, all the terminology that they use, and he's got a person over there transcribing everything that he's saying. So, you know, I'm just really paying attention to everything that's going on. And so he says, "Well, I can tell you why your vision is bad. It's blurry in that white right eye. You have cataracts." And here's my famous question I like to ask the doctors. I say, "So what causes cataracts?" And he thought he was being cute, I guess. I don't know. But he says, "Too many birthdays." And I was like, "Excuse me?" You know, but when they don't know, they just make up, you know, like the doctor was saying that I needed a colonoscopy just because of my age, and he's going to tell me I got cataract just because of my – they don't know what caused these things. And so I had to – but I did allow – let me confess to this right here, because this was really interesting for me. That when the doctor said I needed surgery, and that, you know, the sooner I got it done, the better, I'm like, okay, sign me up. You know, that was my immediate response. You know, how soon can I get it done? Because I got vacation coming up in December, and I need to be completely healed from it and everything. And so this was on a Thursday. And he had scheduled me for that Monday, that very following, which was this past Monday on the 7th, that I was going to be going in. And by the time I got home, they had called because the doctor that did the surgeon that they had me scheduled with did not accept the type of insurance that I had. And so I had to change it to somebody else. So in the meantime, while all of this is taking place where, you know, I'm being told that I can't, that the original doctor can't see me because of the insurance, blah, 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 blah. So I called my nephew, or we were on a call. I believe I called him, and I was telling him about, you know, what the doctor said. And he was like, Auntie, you got to remember who you are. And it was such a wake-up call for me. So with that, I want to say, make sure that you have the right people in your life that is going to keep you dead on track to living who you say you are. Because he could have just let me go on, and, you know, he could have, you know, went into the little pity party with me or whatever. Not that I was, you know, like sounding pitiful or sad or anything, but I had abdicated my strength to this doctor that said, okay, you got to have surgery, and I'm ready to go, you know, like, because I wanted it over with by mid-December so that I could go and do what I wanted to do. So after that was said and done, so the main office where they wanted me to go, I called them back, and I said, you know what, I need to change my appointment for another 2 months. You know, let me come in January and see the surgeon at that time. And so they, you know, rescheduled it and everything. And so one of the things that my nephew, and I know you guys have heard us talk about this on this show plenty of times before, but urine therapy, where you use your own urine to cure your body from different diseases and different ailments. And so what he suggested and what I've been doing is taking fresh urine and putting it in my eyes before I go to sleep at night, and then when I wake up in the morning. And, you know, if you're not familiar with cataracts, it's like it's a film on the eyeball. And in the surgery, what they do is, like, they kind of cut the slit of the eye and they take a vacuum and they vacuum out this film that's covering your eye. And that's all that a cataract is. And so in doing the research and in finding out that you can eat your way to health, to perfect eye health. And so I studied that. I made my grocery list. I made my menus, what I'm going to eat on a daily basis, the different foods and fruits, and seeds that have the highest lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and that is the phytochemical that restores the retina of the eye. And so that's what's affected with the cataracts. And so I'm eating like a smoothie every morning. It's goji berries, blueberries, and just pure ionized alkaline water. So that's my smoothie. So organic eggs, red bell pepper, tomato paste that I made myself from organic bell peppers and tomatoes. I put that on the top of the egg, and I use onion. Now, onion has quite a bit of helpful benefits, and one of the nutrients in it is called quercetin, and that acts as an antibiotic, and it cures a lot of other symptoms in your body. And so I'm going to get to an article on that too. So I do that. Spinach and kale both have a huge amount of lutein in them, and avocado helps to increase the potency of the glutathione in the kale and in the spinach, which helps to clean out your liver. So in the research that I was doing, a clean liver is so important to your eye health. So I want you guys to hear this. If your liver is clogged, you're going to have blurry vision. So you need to make sure that you're taking a supplement or you're doing some type of treatment or regimen that's going to clean your liver out. So what that equated to me was I'm taking a herb called milk thistle and I'm taking dandelion together. And those were two of the herbs that Dr. Sears, the book I was telling you about, Health Confidential, those are two of the herbs that he recommended for cleaning out the liver. And I've also, I've also done liver cleanses where I've cleaned out stones from out of my liver. So there's a lot of information, and we don't have to just automatically give our rights away to the doctor when they say surgery, like I was so tempted to do when I went to the eye doctor. And so get good people in your corner with you, learn and be open to new resources, new ways of doing things. I know that when we talk a lot about urine therapy, people frown up or they stop listening to you. They don't want to hear what you have to say. For me, I had a little floater in my eye, and that's part of that cataract. And I can actually, it doesn't, like it's not there first thing in the morning anymore like it was. And so I didn't know that it was a floater. I just knew I saw this ring in my eye, and I didn't know what it was. And so that's a part of the cataract. But this thing is reducing in size every day, and it does not come up first thing in the morning. It's hours later in the day when I start seeing this ring, but the ring is a lot smaller than what it was. So what I'm doing just in the 10 days, because it hasn't been 2 weeks yet that I've done all the research on the food and the herbs and things like that. So the computer is there for you to learn. So do that. Take advantage of the resources that we have available. Okay, so if any health practitioner or anybody that want to share, if you're on the line or if you want to call in and be a part of this discussion, feel free. The number here is 516-531-9819. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Tonight's topic is Healthy Lives Matter, Especially Yours. So we're talking about the things that we take for granted and that we don't question, we just do because someone that we feel has more authority tells us to do. So I want to just briefly touch on the election from last week, because I know that just from glancing at the news every now and then, how there is so much upheaval and stress that is going on in our streets, in our neighborhoods. And so we need to find a way to healthily deal with that. I know that for me, knowing that my power does not lie in the White House, it doesn't lie with whoever is has that title of President of the United States, that doesn't affect me unless I allow it to. And so there are so many things that are going on, like the time change and the presidency, that is stressing us out and is taking us away from the things that really matter in life. And I call them distractions, because a lot of times what happens, I know back, this has been probably 20, 25 years ago when the wars was going on, Desert Storm, and we were distracted with that. And the president was sitting in the White House, and Bush, and he was just taking away all of the programs for women. He was just stripping them, but because we were so distracted with the wars and the other things that they put there in front of us so that they knew that we would be distracted by them, that they were able to do that without a fight from the public. So I'm going to have to put that person back on hold. So we've got two callers, and 206, area code 206, you have some noise going on, so I'll put you back off. So I'm going to bring on caller, area code 619-884, and then if the caller on 206-271, if you would just check your background noise, I'll bring you right back on in a moment. So you want to go ahead, area code 619-884, give us your name, your comment, contribution to the conversation, please.
Hey, how you doing? This is Ali calling from San Diego.
Hey, Ali.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying, and I was just trying to, you know, chime in on the health what you were just saying about the election and all that, and the health, you know, stress that you can get from just watching unhealthy people, period, let alone an election. You know, what you were just saying, like the things that people eat, they have no idea of. You know, a lot of it has a, you know, tremendous amount of salt, sugar, and, you know, a lot of things that can clog your arteries. And also when your arteries and your blood gets to boiling, like when a person gets upset, then they can absolutely fall out and have no idea of the transmitter food that they put in these markets. And then when you go home and you watch the election results, and now your blood and your arteries are running hot for you to be able to pass out and die. You know, they don't understand that transmitter food is definitely out there to activate your mindset so they can control the whole thing. And you're absolutely right. We definitely need to better change our diet and better do it quick. Also, I wanted to mention a lot of the growings of health foods, so-called organic foods. that people are growing themselves. And anybody that might be listening, I just want to encourage all of you to make sure that when you grow these foods and organic vegetables and fruits, that you also grow in a greenhouse to protect your fruits and vegetables from this pollution of air. People think their gardens are so good and so great. It might be beautiful looking, but your food is tainted. And so a lot of people caught on about growing just now in 2016 when you should have been growing back in the 70s. But nobody was pushing it back then. You know, they wasn't saying nothing back then, like you were explaining about your mom and the herbs that she was saying back in the 70s to people that go ahead and take so they wouldn't, you know, get sick. And a lot of people, you know, would turn away from that and turn away from those people real quick. They thought they was like voodooism or the devil even,
right?
because they was trying to show them a way about the herbs that would help them and clean their system out. My mother used to do the same thing. She used to make her own herbs back in 77, 78. She used to try to explain it to each and every one of her friends that would come over, and some of them would follow through for a couple of weeks, and then some of them would say they would, but they never wouldn't. And all of a sudden, they got sick, and then they running over to my mama's house. What did you say, Pam, about that herb? Yeah, it's too late now. But, you know, I appreciate the information you gave about cleaning your liver and getting stones and things and such things like that out of your liver and out of your you know, your blood and out of your system. People don't know there's natural things. It's probably right there in their cabinet. They don't even have no idea that they can cure them. But they'd rather go eat a hamburger or, you know, In-N-Out and Fat Burgers and M&M's and all that stuff we grew up on. You know, that stuff ain't no good. We was conditioned for that. So it's hard to break these people. And I just wanted to say that. I don't want to talk too much because I can go all day on this here. But I just want to say to you, I also practice urine therapy and distilled water. You know, been doing it for a while. And it also gets you to be able to snap out of that conditioning once you drink it, not only just for your health and body, but also for your mindset. Because once you drink your own urine, you know for sure that day 9.999% of those people that you see that day has not done what you've done. And you know that,
exactly.
And that's what makes your mindset say, "Woo, I'm the only one."
Yeah.
You know, you want to tell them, though.
Yeah. Well, I try to, but, you know, like I say, people, they get, you know, and so I just back off, you know, because I'm not trying to push nothing on anybody, but they will have at least heard it from me. You know what I'm saying? And so just like the ones with your mom, you know, that your mom was trying to educate and they weren't listening. They came back to your mom, though, you know, when they realized, uh-oh, she was really telling us something that could help out, you know. And so I wanted to touch on a couple of things that you said, Ali. The greenhouse, because I know, like, here in Georgia, we've got fire that's been going on for I don't know how long, in northern Georgia, and so there's a lot of smoke and there's a lot of ash. Like, yesterday, it was so bad, it reminded me of Los Angeles and that smog. You couldn't see, you know, it was so blocked up here. And so had if I would have had plants, and had them in the greenhouse, and they would have been protected from that, let alone the chemtrails that's being sprayed and, you know, the Monsanto and whatever they're doing up there in the skies and stuff too. And then one other thing that you said, and then I'm going to go to bring this other caller on, is about the transmitter food and the foods clogging arteries. I actually had two individuals that I was working with that did at least listen. They asked for the advice that I gave them. One had diabetes, and I told them what to do as far as eliminating animal protein and the gluten and to increase the his vegetable intake, but make sure that he was eating good, clean food and explain to him, you know, how to clean the residue and the toxins off his vegetables when he got them home and things like that. The other guy called me because they were getting ready to put him on dialysis, and I told him the same thing. But for him, I told him to also make sure that he eliminate everything white and particularly sugar from out of his diet. So the I talked with the young man with the diabetes, and he followed that for like 2 weeks. And the doctor took him off of his pills, right? But he didn't stay off, and that just was like, what do you mean you didn't stay off? You know, so now he's back on his pills, but you know he's promising he's gonna go back to that diet. But and then my other friend went to the doctor to start his dialysis, and his levels had gone up, and the doctor was like, I can't give you dialysis because your vitals are improving, and so now you don't qualify for dialysis. And so, and he's been a little hard to change, but he sees that it's making a difference. So you're absolutely right. Food does mess with our systems and will give the doctors reason to put you on all of these apparatuses, and you don't need it if you just change what you eat. So thank you for saying that, Ali. I'm going to keep you open, and I'm going to bring on this other caller. Sorry that you had to wait. Area code 206-271. Give us your name and your contribution to the conversation, please.
Hello, my name is Warren Armstead. How you doing, Sandy?
Hey, Warren, this
can
is
you?
My cousin, y'all.
Hey, that's my folks. How you doing, family?
I'm well. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can,
Sandy.
Yes. Yes,
you can
hear
me? Oh, yes,
yes,
I can. Okay, anyhow, yeah, it's nice being on your show. This is a heavy, heavy subject for me. This is one of the things that I'd advocate every single day because I believe that health is the most important thing in the world. Nothing else matters. You know, if you're not a healthy person, it's all – if you're living unhealthy, just imagine – the things that you go through, your family go through, you know, and my family has gone through quite a bit with diabetes and high blood pressure and all these things, right? And so that's why I'm always on Facebook sharing every single morning, you know, because I would love to get this topic to be one of the most important things that we talk about, you know. When we walk by each other and we say what's up and go through all that, and that discussion hardly ever comes up. You know, how's your health? You know, I'm going to tell you the reason why it's so important to me, because my mom, who I love dearly, she died from diabetes, right? And that was devastating to me, but I wasn't in my right frame of mind to realize the impact that diabetes and high blood pressures and those cardiovascular diseases and heart diseases have on our community. I mean, it's just so major. So any chance that I get to talk about it, any chance I get to read the information that you share on Facebook, I mean, it's incredible. I just love it, you know, and I'm not all the way there yet, you know, on all of the herbs and stuff, you know, but this is what I do. I try to do the best I can. And when I do bad food, I go out, and I work. I work so hard. I sweat. I know that I got to work extra hard because all that junk going in your body, it's just going to sit there. And like Ali said, it's going to clog your artery. You're going to have complications. You're going to be suffering. You're going to be in pain. I just love to get information. And whenever I see something that's really important, I share it. It doesn't matter where it comes from. You know what I mean? Because that's where God got me facing. He has me on that direction to try to address, to get this topic, get it out there, you know. And that's why I appreciate every time that I get a chance to come on your radio show, I'm going to be there. Sometimes I might not say nothing. I might not have anything to contribute on some of the conversations, but this is one of the ones that I would like to share, talk about, and try to motivate people, you know what I mean, inspire people. Look at here. Matter of fact, I just come from the hospital. Well, no, a nursing home. I have a nephew. He's 62 years old, and he has diabetes. Now, there's a lot of people in my family with diabetes. And I keep on having this discussion with them. My sister, my niece, another niece, my nephew, my mom died of it. It's really deep. It's all about your diet. It's all about sweating, working out. Like you say, you do yoga. Yoga, listen, yoga is beautiful. I do that for my back. I have a herniated disc. I have a pinched nerve in my back. Okay? And I also, in the mornings when I wake up, I have this film over my eye, right? And I've never been to the doctor for it, but I was on this medication. Doctors are quick to give you medication. I was on this medication, a nerve medication, for my back. And you should read everything that you take for side effects.
Everything.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember reading about it called damaged eyesight problem. Right?
Ooh.
I remember that. And it was, the name of it is gabapentin. And I couldn't see. I went totally blind. Right?
Wow.
And I said, oh, my God. And that's the only medication I've ever taken in my life from a doctor, right? And sure enough, I remember reading that information. And so I decided to never take that medication again in my life. That was about 3 years ago. So
okay.
Another doctor for my back tried to give it to me. I said, no, I'm not taking that medication. And he gave me a bunch of other medications. I don't take medication. You know, I try to avoid that stuff because I know what it's all about. We can heal ourselves by doing the things we need to do with the diet, exercise, and yoga, deep breathing. And I'm surviving this, you know, and I'm in pain basically every morning I wake up. But I refuse to take medication because I know there's another way to get this done, you know. And I always pray to God because I believe in God, you know. And that's another part of being healthy. We got to get our minds healthy, our bodies, and our souls, you know. And I believe diet and exercise will bring about everything else. Because when you're doing the right thing, you got a healthy mind. And like you say, Sandy, you've got a beautiful personality. I just love to hear you talk. I love where you're coming from. I love that you take the time out to share this information with the world. And I enjoy it, you know, because it contributes to my life. It contributes to my mind and my soul. And that's what it's all about. If you only knew, I have a hell of a story, you know. But I'm here for a reason, you know. And
I'm going to say I'm going to bring you on and spotlight your life on one of the shows and let you tell your story.
I got one.
If you're willing to do that. Okay.
I'm always willing to do that.
You
don't know why I would do what?
Because it helps people to understand.
I don't mind sharing. There's no secrets with me anymore. My life has been played out on the media, everywhere, you know, so I have no secret, you know. I mean, I don't mind sharing about my experiences and how I've come to where I'm at today. And like you, Sandy, I'm healthy.
That's the healthiest place to be. Right there is the healthiest
when,
you know, because it's all behind you anyway, you know. Hell, what you gonna do? You know, you can't go back and change it, so, yeah. But, you know, you were talking about diabetes running in the family, and it's only because the eating habits haven't changed for the family. That's why everybody is afflicted with the same health disease, is that, you know, they're still eating the same. I know my family, you know, with the richness, with the butter pound cakes and the German chocolate cakes, you know, especially coming up here on the holidays, and you know, some of the food that I see that we still prepare, there's hardly anything healthy that's on the plate, you know, or that's set out in front of people, because, you know, like if it starts out as a nice green salad, then you got all of this salad dressing, that's got all the preservatives and all of that stuff that just makes it, you know, it turns it into poison. So what's the point, you know? But we also got to be very diplomatic as we talk with our family, too, because we don't want them to be turned off from what we're saying. And
exactly.
It's a good thing that you stopped the medication that the doctor had given you, and you may need to do some additional detoxing of your system, Warren, because it's probably still in you some kind of way, and that may be why your vision go in and out. I know I was talking with someone yesterday, and I think, but you're close to the ocean and stuff. But anyway, and so he was saying, well, Sandy, you got to remember, too, that you were born and raised in Los Angeles, and y'all had smog before anybody even know what that stuff was, you know. And if you lived in it and you breathed it, you know, you have accumulated a lot of the heavy metal toxins just from the air that you breathed all your life. So those are just some of the things that we don't really pay attention to. You know what I'm saying? We just
right,
like, oh,
right,
well.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Well, let me
share
this.
There's a lot of things we don't. Okay.
Okay, let me just share this. But seriously, I want to talk to you about doing a show on your life. And I'm leaving you and Ali on. So that if something comes up, if you guys want to make a comment, feel free. But I was taking this friend of mine to a doctor a couple of weeks ago, and I just love what she had to say. She was like, she said, Sandy, do you ever think about that the medical professions, they develop a pill first. She said, and then they create an illness so that you have to take the pill. And I had never thought about that before like that, you know. And so we both got a kick out of this restless leg syndrome, you know. And so she was like, she said, just like when that first came out, I was like, I know. Because when I heard people talking about the restless leg syndrome, I'm like, all you got to do is get up and walk around and that'll relieve the problem, right? But no, but they came up with this pill for you to take if you got restless leg syndrome, you know. And so we indoctrinated by the television, you know, as to what to go and tell your doctor. And you are convinced that you've got these different ailments that they tell you about. You know, you'd be like, come on now, really? So a lot of that stuff is just we're brainwashed into believing it. My first ever naturopathic doctor was H.H. Worrell. And he was in Texas, and my brother actually introduced me to him. And he would tell me and most of his patients, the only thing wrong with you is stinking thinking. You believe what the doctor said. And so when he first told me that, I was like, yeah, that's a little novel right there, what he said. But when you if you do research on it, I think the numbers are as high as 80%. Of the individuals that are laying up in the hospital do not really have the symptoms that they went in there with, but they've manifested that from what the doctors diagnosed them with. So, like with the cataracts, you know, if I would have accepted that diagnosis, then I probably would be like completely unable to see out that eye because I so believed it. Oh, whoa, poor me, I got cataracts, you know, and things like that. So it would make it just, you know, come on just that much more readily in my eye, affecting my my vision. So we need to be really careful what we allow people to speak over our lives, you know. And so my friend was also saying, you know, like how an aspirin, one single aspirin in the hospital costs $45, just one aspirin. And she said, and I wonder why insurance rates are so high, you know, and then how some doctors are milking the system because the government is paying for the medical insurance and for the prescription. But then she turned around and she says, but guess who the government is? That's me and you. So we're allowing these doctors to get away with overcharging and, you know, these in the hospitals, these outrageous amounts, $45 for one aspirin, you know. So we got to be, instead of bitching and complaining all the time about, you know, like who's in the White House and who's this and who's that, we need to take a look at some of these things that are really affecting our everyday life, that's ripping life right out of us, and trying to make some changes on those. So,
yeah,
I promised
a lot.
You
yeah,
an article. Go ahead.
No, that was a lot, and you're right. We should be doing that. There's a lot of things we should be doing, though, but you're right. You know, that's because it is,
yeah.
We are the ones paying for it, you know, and we
exactly.
are the ones that are suffering across the
yep.
table. You know, that because
yep.
it's all a business. It's all of the pharmaceuticals and doctors,
yep.
all in people. It's all about economics, you know. It's all about bringing
yep.
money home, you know, staying
yep.
rich, you know, keeping people.
Yep.
Keeping people coming to the hospital, keep people going
that's
to
it.
See the doctor, you know, and we
yeah.
have to become
yeah.
consciously aware of our conditions,
yes.
and we got to change them.
Yeah.
We have to change them, you know, because
yes.
we know
yeah.
there's so much information out there, Sandy, that we could get to where we don't need to go to the doctor. Of course, we need doctors. I'm not saying that. But a lot of things we don't need to go for. When we could just diet
yeah.
and exercise. Diet, exercise. You know.
Yeah, find the foods that are going to benefit you. You know, so like I'm gonna do two articles together right here, and so this past Saturday, I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Michael Greger, and he's written a book called How Not to Die, and Warren, these are some of those articles that I've been posting on God's Groceries, How Not to Die from Heart Disease and How Not to Die from High Blood Pressure, I think, or something like that. So some of the comments
right.
that he made was that on a plant-based diet, cavities are totally preventable. So if you are raising your children and your grandchildren correctly with the right of foods and nutrition, they will never have a cavity in their mouth. And I never heard that one before. And he says our body
yeah,
wants to regain its health and that we have a natural healing process. And I did know that. But he says that the body changes after only 2 weeks of eating healthy. And so that regardless to what could be going on with your body, that the way we eat treats the cause of the illness. And most doctors, most of our regular doctors, they never treat the cause of the illness. Just like, you know, I was told that I needed a colonoscopy because of my age and the cataracts were because of my age. But no one is talking about what causes any of this, you know. And another point that he came up with that really, really got me was that if you spend 5,000 hours in the gym, it does not compare to the benefits your body would get from a whole food plant-based diet. Exercise
right.
is good,
right.
but how you eat is even more important. And he said he talked
yeah.
about a couple of people that had been diabetic for 20 years, and once they went on a plant-based diet, within 16 days, they were off insulin, and that was the power of the plants. And, you know, so this is all outlined in his book called How Not to Die, and his name is Dr. Michael Greger, G-R-E-G-E-R, and he's has worked with Cornell University. So, you know, expose yourself to as many of these authorities and as many places as you can to get additional information. So then here's the article I promised you on onions. So it says onion compound suppresses ovarian cancer. So they
uh-huh.
are people with the highest consumption of onions have a lower risk of several types of cancer, including ovarian, endometrial, liver, colon, kidney, esophageal, I think that's laryngeal, prostate, colorectal, and breast cancer. Onions contain several anti-cancer compounds, including quercetin, anthocyanins, oregano, sulfur, compounds such as, and these words I'm really, disulfide is DDS, S-alicysteine is SAC, and S-methylcysteine is SMC, and ONA is ONA. So it says ONA may offer protection against ovarian cancer, the most common type of ovarian cancer. Quercetin helps protect against ovarian, breast, colon, brain, and lung cancer. And this is one of Dr. Marcola's articles, too. And it says the stronger an onion flavor, the more effective its anti-cancer effects. Quercetin, that's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, is another potent anti-cancer compound. And quercetin compound is found in onions, has been shown to decrease cancer tumor initiation and inhibit the proliferation of cultured ovarian, breast, and colon cancer cells. It's also associated with a decreased risk for brain cancer and a lower risk of lung cancer if you are a smoker. And so there's other beneficial compounds found in onions, and there's so many health benefits, like prevent inflammatory processes associated with asthma, lower levels of cholesterol and triglycerides, maintain gastrointestinal health by sustaining beneficial bacteria, reduce risk of neurodegenerative disorders, antimicrobial properties that may help reduce the rate of blood-borne illness, antibacterial, antifungal, antioxidant, and anti-inflammatory properties. It reduces symptoms associated with diabetes, reduces symptoms associated with osteoporosis and improved bone health, diminish replication of HIV, lower your risk of cataract formation, improvement of intestinal flora, improved absorption of calcium and magnesium due to the, fructans they contain, improved heart health, and just so on and so on. And so, you need to make sure that you increase. Now, that's what I was telling you guys earlier. So, in the morning, because the eggs, the organic eggs, have so much of the lutein in them, so I'm doing an omelet with organic eggs. I've got red bell pepper, and I've got red onions in there. So I'm getting that quercetin into the foods that I'm eating every morning, along with the goji berries and the blueberries, because I'm reading and I'm learning about what is the healthiest thing for eye health and how to improve the eye health. So I know I've been going a long time, but you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am so thankful that you're with us tonight. We have been going nonstop with Healthy Lives Matter, especially yours. We've been talking about so many interesting aspects of this thing that we call health. Ali was telling us about being careful of growing your plants in greenhouses because of the toxins that are in the air, and about food clogging up the arteries and transmitter foods. And Warren came on talking about diabetes and his family and eating habits, and how he knew that this medication that he was given for some back pain actually caused some diminished ability of his being able to see out of his eyes. And so we're just going through just a whole lot of different situations. And I was telling about how I went for my annual physical a couple of weeks ago, and how the doctor wanted me to, she was first impressed that I was in excellent health, and that for the second year in a row, she couldn't order blood work because none of my stats indicated the need for it. And she asked me if I wanted to pay for my blood work to be done. I'm like, heck no, man, you know. And so, so then she proceeded to, you know, try to guilt me into, oh, you don't want anything I have to offer. But she wanted to give me vaccinations, four different ones, polio, tetanus. I think it was polio, tetanus, flu, and the cold. And I refused all of those. And then she wanted me to do a mammogram, and I didn't want that. And then colonoscopy, and she couldn't give me a reason. She just told me because of my age I needed it. But she had just told me I was in excellent health. So anyway, we're not going to get to that. And then how quickly, 2 days later, I went to the eye doctor, and I almost fell prey to going under the knife for cataracts. But thankful to my nephew for bringing me back around very quickly and saying that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way because we already know. But we've been so brainwashed and so kept in a delusional state of mind around our own bodies and how they're designed to heal themselves, like Dr. Michael Greger was saying. You know, we forget that so quickly when we're told different diagnoses. So there's a couple of books, and I'm just going to say this real quickly, and I'm going to jump back in because there were still two more articles I want to share. So Dr. Michael Greger, G-R-E-G-E-R, his book is called How Not to Die. I've been posting a couple of his segments on God's Groceries on Facebook. And then the other book that has really helped a lot is Health Confidential by Dr. Al Sears, just like the store Sears, S-E-A-R-S. And he just really explains all of the ways that the traditional doctors are duping us into believing and taking unnecessary risk with our health, with their prescriptions, or what they're not telling us. So in some of his chapters in his book is Rid Your Body of Today's Toxins, The Living Link Missing from Our Diet, How to Beat the Hidden Effects of Modern Stress, Attention Women, Good News from Research. And he talks about some of the things that we've been taking advantage of. When bagels attack, what you need to know about gluten and how it truly affects your body. Chemical warfare camouflaged in food. So those are just some of the chapters in Dr. Sears' book. So make sure you get a copy of that. So I wanted to share this. This is from a friend of mine over in the UK. We've been communicating with one another for several years now, and she has an article that comes out called Another One with the Cancer. And so she talks about her issue with Pinktober is what she calls it, and why there is so much money being made with the pink ribbons and how everybody thinks that by wearing the pink that they're supporting something or helping someone when actually they're not doing anything of that nature. So this one part of her article talks about, she says, I do not understand the need for breast cancer awareness at a cancer center, for crying out loud. A building that exists as a place to treat cancer patients is the epitome of all cancer awareness. Thus, a pink light becomes overkill. A pink light becomes the favoring of patients with breast cancer, their lives, their money, over all other cancer patients. A pink light becomes the shoving of a cause down many gagging throats. And so her point is, you know, we're making so much to do over the breast cancer as opposed to any other cancers that are out there. And so I'm just going to read a couple of her sentences, and then I want to get to what the real crux of her article is about. It says, for me at least, the financial aspect of cancer is a big part of the ongoing stress of cancer. That's the money side, the pink for profit side. What really bothers me about a pink-lit cancer center is that it reinforces how pink has become such a Godzilla that all other cancer patients are feeling ignored and angrier with each passing year. I can understand how ungrateful we must sound when we criticize all the pink crap. Breast cancer gets all the attention because sex sells and, well, boobies. Anyone who does not understand that clearly does not understand the concept of advertising, and that it is inexcusable in the 21st century. Grow up. Let's make X cancer sexy is just a cliche. And she said, maybe we all need to stop and take a breath and have some kind of discussion in which a side is presented and another side is not allowed to respond for a few minutes. That old adage about listening to respond rather than to understand, or that idea that 51% of communication is listening and not talking, these things are true. The problem with pink are being explained thoroughly, carefully, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere. And that's when she called it Pinktober. And she said, we've got to move forward and evolve in all disease discussions. And she is really perturbed by the pink and the money that's being made on pink and the exaggeration of the pink ribbons. And if you can tell, it's getting more and more evident, you know, like there's pink license plate holders and pink a lot of stuff now. And so I don't think we stop and ask how that might affect a person with cancer, you know, but they feel like they're being taken advantage of, or at least she does. And, again, she's over in the United Kingdom. And so this last article, we've got about 12 minutes left. This last article, it talks about how does daylight savings impact your health. Moving the clocks back an hour is an artificial change in our routine and can upset our circadian rhythm, says Dr. Wayne Scott Anderson. He's a co-founder of Take Shape for Life. And he says, for some, daylight savings can lead to overeating. Our likelihood of overeating can go up, and our energy levels and interest in exercise can go down with this time change. And there's also another effect on our moods called SAD, the seasonal affective disorder. And he says, do you ever feel like the summer is stress-free while the winter has you hiding under the covers? The time change may be to blame for this phenomenon. Many actually wake up earlier than usual due to the body's circadian clock. When our sleep schedules are interrupted, we are more likely to experience stress and can feel more anxious. So now we know the impact of setting back the clock, but what can we do to help our bodies adapt? To modify routines and help our bodies adapt this fall, Anderson suggests keeping constant sleep and wake schedules, yep, even on the weekends, exercising during the day, avoiding caffeine and alcohol before bed, and eating lightly at night. If you have habits of healthy sleep already, like a consistent, relaxing evening routine and bedtime, you should strive to keep that same routine intact before the time change. And so there is a medical effect that's been documented and researched with the time being set back, how it really does affect our living day-to-day. And there's some others, but I knew I wasn't going to get through everything, but I just wanted to make sure I had enough information. Oh, this is another. So if you ever have a chance, an opportunity where you're just kind of laying around and you don't really have anything that you want to see on TV, check out the Science Channel. Very informative. And there's a program that they have on called How It's Made. And I actually caught the segment where they were making bar soap, you know, the Dove and the all of the fancy soaps, designer soaps and all of like that. And it was scary because these expensive soaps that we go out and spend all this money on, they're actually made from animal fat. And that just grossed me out, and I wanted to share that with you. So take a look for yourself. It's called How It's Made on the Science Channel. And I really, really think that you would would be so impressed and get so much education from seeing how a lot of these products that we use day in and day out, how they're actually made. And so we're at the 10-minute mark to the end of this show. I am so happy that we had a chance to talk about healthy lives, healthy bodies, healthy minds, that we had callers to call in and share, Warren and Ali, and how this is such an important topic that we need to make sure that we're having discussions with those that we love, our family, our friends, our neighbors, strangers on the street. You know, like I said, I've had an opportunity to talk with two men and just offer them suggestions on changing their eating habit. One, after 2 weeks, both of them, one came, was able to come off of his insulin and his medications for diabetes. However, he did not stay on the eating regimen that I told him, and he went back to his old ways, and so now he's back on his medications and pharmaceuticals to keep his blood sugar in check. And the other gentleman, actually his early 60s, I believe, and they wanted to start him on dialysis. And he called me, and we had a long conversation, and I recommended that he eliminate animal protein and sugars and all white things and incorporate more grain into his life. And he went, him and his daughter, for him to start his dialysis, and the doctor was just dumbfounded because his numbers had gone up and he no longer qualified to be on dialysis. And so he was really tickled to call and let me know. And he had not done 100% of what I had asked him to do, but he had done enough. I think his points went up by 7 points or something like that. And the doctor was just like, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, just continue doing it. And so he knew that by making those slight changes in his diet, that that's what had caused an improvement in his health. And so just like Dr. McGregor said, you know, just after 2 weeks or 16 days, a person that had been on diabetic for 20 years was able to come off all insulin after just 16 days or, you know, 2 weeks plus 2 days. So it's the power of plants that can make a difference in our lives. So, Warren, we're down to like about 5 minutes. Is there anything that you would like to add to the conversation in closing?
Yeah, well, I appreciate being on your show, and I love you dearly. And one last thing, my and this is my nephew. I visit him, right? He's on the dialysis too, right? And I've asked him, has he ever thought about just changing his ways? And just praying to God, open his heart up to God, he's never have, right? And this was kind of interesting. He was at the hospital. He got his toe cut off, okay? And, you know, and his blood pressure was really low. So they gave him some blood pressure medication. Now he's feeling really good. He wanted to live now. At first he wanted to die, okay? He's feeling good. He wanted to live. And so they offered him a pack of cigarettes to move out of his room to another room. And I'm like, really?
What?
Ridiculous. Yeah. And I said, how did you feel about that? You know, I asked him. And he says, man, the first thing that ran through my mind, they should be trying to help us get healthy, you know? They could have offered him anything else, you know that? Yeah, some healthy food, salad. Cause he was talking about healthy foods, you know, because he want to live now, you know? And he knows his leg is subject or is subject to get cut off. It's really hard, you know. So, you know, once they chop on you once, you know, if you don't change your ways, they're just going to chop some more. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that diabetes
well,
and all those different illnesses that we could control, we need to. You know, thanks a lot, Sandy.
Yes, well, just giving that information, Warren, about the plant-based diet. And I've got one more caller. Let me just make a quick statement right here for you guys to be able to get in contact with me. Any that you may want additional references, or if there's something I said that you didn't quite understand, I can send you a link to the articles or explain whatever was said. So the email that you can send all your inquiries to is lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. And I promise that I will answer and respond to you just as quickly as I can. So we got one last caller. It's actually my brother, so I don't even need to do that. So, William, welcome to the show, and what's your contribution to the conversation?
Well, Sandy, I missed the first part of the show, so I hope I'm not repeating something. There was some mention about mind health, and you mentioned something from Dr. Worrell from a while back about stinking thinking. And too often, there's not enough attention given to the importance of changing a mindset, to change the things that you repeat yourself, even if you're talking about quitting doing something. You know, it's like during the election. You know, if you were voting against Donald Trump, you were actually voting for him. It's just that old law of attraction, you know. So speak what you want. You know, your words have so much power. Always speak to what you desire. Those things that are very dear to you from a very deep place inside of you, speak that out into the universe. And speak that to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the biggest contributions you can make to your health, is to change your language about your desires, about your body, about your intentions, about how you feel, you know, to constantly work on watching the things that you say. The last thing, I think, real simple, we discussed this past Sunday about how important something very simple that we overlook, and that's just giving a hug, you know, and in terms of your health. You know, it strengthens your immune system. It helps, relaxes you. It lowers stress and on you. It boosts self esteem. And I could go on and on and on. But just a simple hug. There's a quote I like to share from Virginia Satir. She says, "We need 4 hugs a day for survival. We need 8 hugs a day for maintenance. We need 12 hugs a day for growth." So that should give you some kind of benchmark. And there's so much value just to a hug. And they say you need at least 20 seconds. Now, my wife won't let me count, so so you can't.
But you know, one of our guests, Ali, that's what he does, and that's just his passion. You know, he's passing our hugs on Facebook on a daily basis. And
awesome.
So, it's really incredible. Well, we're out of time for today, and I appreciate everybody for listening and the calling in and adding to the show tonight. Healthy Lives Matters, especially yours. And I thank you for being with us on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So we'll be back next Tuesday, the same time with a different subject. And again, the email is lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com. If you'd like to send any show ideas or have some questions about anything that was discussed tonight. And this is your host, Sandy Rogers. We'll see you next week. May you forever live in divine wellness.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you too.